We are in, at the moment, a national, international event with the Olympics in Russia. And that event involves probably most of the countries of the world in some form or fashion. And so it's a very, very, very worldwide event, to say the least, in these days. And in order to participate in what is called the Olympics, the nations send their citizens, those that represent them, into the games to compete. And in order to be selected in some form by the nation that the person represents, they have to qualify to participate in the Olympics. And therefore, in their qualifying, it isn't for their glory. It's for the glory of the nation. They represent the nation. They have the flag. They represent the nation, not themselves. And thus, in the process, here we are, and we would like to know what makes them, how do you select them, how do you get them, how do they have to be able to be so involved? Well, as a people, as individuals. So now, in the light of that, you need to qualify, you need to be chosen, you need to be selected, you have to be involved in some aspect of that which is going to be in the games. Now, in order to qualify, you have to qualify. So we're going to go in the light of that and consider us as individuals, since that's more personal and more necessary. So therefore, everyone, in order to be chosen by the nation, they have to be born physically. They have to have physical birth. Everyone in the nation, everyone in this nation, has to be a citizen. And they have to have physical birth. Everyone in the whole world has physical birth. Why do they have physical birth? Why does God do that? So that all of those people who are given the privilege of being physically alive can have a spiritual birth, because Christ died for them all. So everyone that is born physically is able to participate because they are qualified to be born spiritually by just being born physically, as it were. So now, in the light of that, and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, who will have all men to be saved, who is the propitiation for all of our sin, the satisfaction, satisfying God for our sin, for the sins of the world, he satisfies, who will have all men to be saved. Now, so our Lord Jesus Christ, he qualifies everyone. How did we get qualified? We had to be born physically. Christ died so that we could be born spiritually, so that we could qualify for what God has in mind. Now, and having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore, being qualified, we need to participate. And we need to participate, and in our little recent studies, we remember Israel was chosen by God to represent their nation, to represent all nations, so that that nation of Israel would be an example and an exercise that all nations would be able to enjoy the government gods and worship God correctly. Now, in the light of that, but Israel had a lot in the land. They did not in the land, crossing the Jordan River. And they were given their lots, each tribe, 12. Each person in each tribe had a place. Wonderful to start off. God had all the way over there to the Euphrates, Mediterranean to the Euphrates River, all of this great piece of property in the middle of the world was to be theirs. Now, Israel struggled to get the beginning of what God had given them. They lost out by Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. They lost out on what they were given. They had the privilege, and they threw it away because of unbelief, etc. Now, in the light of that, here we are on planet Earth, and we share together that in the process, and remember now, in order to be represent the country that in the Olympic Games, you'd have to have some relationship to the nation, a citizen or such. And I would remind you in Philippians chapter 3 that our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. And so, God, here we are, strangers and pilgrims on earth, that's right. And, God, you have made us legitimate citizens of heaven, your holy, happy heaven. And not only that, in doing so, you have, Colossians 1, you have translated us, moved us from outside to inside, from outside the stadium to inside the stadium. You have translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. You have transplanted us from here to there. You did that. And in the process of transplanting us into the kingdom of thy dear Son, as we shared together, we have gone from the outside to the inside. Now, in the light of our sharing, we need to, here we are, if you're saved, and you know the Lord as your Savior, you are qualified to participate. There's no question about it. Now, we share together, also we want to put together and remind ourselves that in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing judgment, the executive decision to be made, is made by God. The whole universe, all of creation, is God's creation. He is not an absentee landlord. He is very much involved. As we shared, the clock, he started the clock, time, in the light of eternity, he started the clock. The clock is precisely on time. It never needs adjusting, never needs the spring work, nothing, everything is like an atomic, a perfect atomic clock. So there's nothing, no one, anywhere going on in all of creation, including the angels, including all of it, that God isn't on top of. The lot is cast into the lap. The whole outworking is God's. There's nothing going, there's no accidents, no luck, no chance. Not with God, there isn't any. Now, so having said that, then we share together that we, Israel, it was in God's will. They were his chosen people to represent the nation to all nations. But they failed. Here we are as believers, and we share together the wonderful truth that remains true. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof belongs to God. And we share together in all of that, we get the power of that. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that are loving God and are called according to his purpose, which we did last Sunday night. His wonderful purpose. What is his purpose? And we're called for his purpose. And we looked at that. Awesome. God, that's what we're called to. Wow. So now, the lot is cast into the lap, and here we are looking to God, and our lap we share together, our lot, what we have day in and day out, the home, the work, coming and going, school and everything else. We come and go and live our daily lives, and we do that, and so that's in a lap, and our lot, and the outworking, it's your job, your home, your kitchen, your life, physically, mentally, morally, your life. And you have to work that out. But it isn't done with God being absent. God is very conscious of every particle of dust, of every single bird, of every single snowflake, of every single person. And God has it all collectively together. As we share together, if it's any help to remind you, there's the great painting and the great wonderful scene out in the great mountains in the valley. And if I were to take, and can imagine a paintbrush, and I take the little blade of grass and I put it out on the table, I paint it on the table. Are you impressed? I say, that's nothing. True. But when I put the blade of grass into the painting, there you are. Blade of grass. But hey, the blade of grass is part of the great, marvelous valley and the mountains. And it stands out. It would never stand out by itself. But when it's in that setting, God, here we are, humans, born physically to be put into your wonderful outworking of your wonderful plan and purpose for planet Earth, for humans, in the light of the angels that fell, etc., and etc. And here we are, God. So now, looking to you, God, we share together that our lot in our lap, when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, I live my life, and we share together the normal life of a normal person. It's a gamble. Every day you choose to do, be, say, think, and you make moves. And you make those moves, and you assume a whole lot about work, home, school, play. And normally it seems to work out, so we get pretty confident. But it's an assumption on our part, and we have no idea, really, of tomorrow morning, of tonight even, or this afternoon. We have none. We think we do, but we don't. It's a gamble. But when God is included, the gamble is gone. The chance is gone. The luck is gone. Because, as we share together, our lot becomes His. And our lap becomes His. Your body and heart becomes His for the outworking of His lot and His lap in your lap, in your life. Outworking. Wow. Wow. That's right there, right there. Now, having said that, and we share together to keep in mind, in the light of that, that thus, for us, you know, all the truths of the Philippians in that, 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, great advantage. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Wow. And a whole, I'm dead, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And wow. And everything, it's a whole other world. I live in the same world. And I live in the same world, but as I'm a citizen of earth, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. And God, what have you done? What have you done to make me a participant in this marvelous purpose of the purpose of creation in the first place? What did you do? Well, I did something wonderful. I sent my son to Calvary's cross, and Israel rejected me. The world crucified me along with Israel. And I'm going to demonstrate my marvelous grace. I'm going to demonstrate my marvelous grace to the world. And in doing so, I'm going to make a unique personal relationship to God work. Now, having said that, what are you going to do? I'm going to make it happen, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to make happen what? A unique relationship. I'm going to have you be joint heirs. Not heirs. You are heirs. But joint heirs. I'm going to have you have such a unique relationship to who I am that, and this relationship is for every one of you. Now, and in Ephesians 1, just to remind us, remember in Romans 8 and 17, we have the joint heirs, etc. And in the process, we are able to enjoy and exercise God's wonderful person. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, going to verse 18, adding to that we're joint heirs, and that's a marvelous thing, but it isn't anywhere, that doesn't even almost come to the front, because, 18, the eyes of your understanding, God, what do you want us to know? What do you want us to understand? That you may be knowing the hope, the expectancy. What is the hope, the object of this wonderful anticipation, expectation of your calling? And we looked at that last time. Your wonderful calling. And the riches of the glory of your inheritance, which is found in the whosoever's that believe. And you have gone and taken whosoever's, and you have brought them into a place that no one else in the past or in the future will have. Only in this age of grace you're going to have it. A unique personal relationship. I am going to prize the whosoever's that receive the Son that believe. I'm going to prize them. They're going to have a privilege. Why are we your inheritance? Verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, the assembled body of believers. Which church? The church, singular, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God, what is the inheritance you have given to the Lord Jesus Christ? A body of believers, like the physical body. My physical body, I'm the head. God has given to the body of believers the head. The head is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the inheritance he has, that's our inheritance. His inheritance is this body of believers that are to glorify and honor him forever. A unique personal relationship to God, not earthly like Israel, but heavenly. And not to be out there like the angels and all the other great wonderments in heaven. We are to be on the throne because we are his body. We are seated in heavenly places. We have a privilege to look at all of forever from the vantage point of the throne of God. Wow. I'm not looking at the throne. You're there. Now hang on. Now that's the thing. And thus they have this unique privilege. May I go picking up over if I can, in the light of that, and we do need to qualify, remember, we shared the citizenship. We're brought into this unique relationship. Our lot, his lot. Our lap, his lap. We brought into a unique relationship to God. And we need to participate. There's no question. We need to participate. And in order to represent the nation physically, as in the Olympics, you've got to be able to pursue some activity. You can't just go there and say that I'm going to enter the snow shoveling contest. But there is no snow shoveling contest, so you can't enter that. You can only enter the things that are there. And you are picked by the nation to go represent and pursue that given activity. Now, what do we know? Well, as a believer in the body, head, body, everything, I'll make it easy for you. I'm asking you now, what part of your body may I take away from you right now? Did you get it? What part of your body, physical, if I could step down and magically reach in and take out of you something, what would you want me to take from you and not give back? Are you ready to give up any part of your body willingly? No, you're not. Is that all right? You would resent if I came down. Let's do a simple thing. I'm going to come down with my pliers. I'm going to come down with my pliers, and I'm going to pull. Open your mouth, and I'm going to pull. I'm going to put my pliers in and grab hold of whatever is up there and pull it. Would you like me to do that? My pliers, I'm going to come and take your nail in the hand, a simple little nail, and grab it without any Novocaine or anything, and pull it. Would you like that? You're part of the body. There's no part of your body that you don't value. There's no part of God's body that isn't valuable. The blade of grass belongs in the painting. So what is your part in this great participation of this great purpose of God in these great international games that are taking place? We have every single believer belongs in the body of Christ in a unique personal way. And every single believer is meant to participate in some aspect of the body's outworking to bear witness and testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter whether it's a fingernail or a liver or a part of your lungs, every part of it is to bear witness. The whole picture is there for the angels to see good and bad. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, that we need to participate and we need to be in the game. And in the process, we've got to qualify. So we do qualify. How do we qualify? Well, we are definitely able to participate. We have. Now, I haven't watched the Olympics very much but do you know, I noticed the different, especially girls, more than boys, they get excited. They haven't done anything yet, but they're all excited. They're all excited to be there. They may be the tiddlywink. They're going to be in the tiddlywink contest for the world tiddlywink champion. But you know, they're excited. Every believer ought to be excited about the fact that they belong in the body. No matter what. That's exciting. Wow. And in the light of that. So that here's all the, and the motivation and the inspiration for it. Over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is one of those things, if you feel a little reluctant to memorize anything, here's something that you might want to tackle. Mark chapter 11. Remember, in if I may, going directly in the light of the context, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Let God be the object. Let God be the inspiration for your perspiration. Let him be the motivation for your movement, looking to God. So that you have inspiration. Where's the stimulus? It isn't us. It isn't the snow. It's God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. We're in the presence of God always. So now, God, we're to look to you. We're to look for you to get to be involved here, to have our motivation, to be a participant in all that's going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, not everyone wants to participate. They don't always participate. They don't do it. And we don't want to be, we don't want to stand and watch the games, which is something. And especially television, you watch them at a distance. No, God didn't call us to watch a game. God called us to be in the game. God didn't call you to be a spectator in any way. God called you to be a participant. And if you're saved, you are a participant. Like it or not. True. Like it or not, you are a participant. Now you can either don't care, or you can roll up your sleeves and God help me understand this then. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, you'll know. I'm going to move quickly if I can. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, fleshly, as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, food, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able. Verse 3. Are you yet carnal, fleshly? For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal, fleshly, and walk as men? Walk as men? You're carnal, fleshly? But God, listen, you're all participants. But you want understanding what the game is about. The game isn't arguing, debating, digressing, dialogue between people. You're looking out there on the track where you're going to run. And if you're busy talking and fooling around, you aren't there to run. You're wasting your time and energy. You want to save all that because you're going to put your foot down on the mark and run. And you've given your whole, most of them, hours and years of their life for this one moment. To run. Wow. Wow. So we aren't. They're carnal. The dumb Corinthians. That's all right to say dumb. They weren't with it. Corinthians. And what didn't they know? Well, watch. You know all this. If I may. They forgot, verse 9. They forgot that they were, I'll read the verse. For you are laborers together, co-laborers together, with whom? God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And we shared the other day, you are God's cultivated field. You are for God to produce a wonderful produce, a wonderful fruit in your life, to fulfill your heart with all the plant life that glorifies him. Ah. And you are God's building. For God to say, this is my building. This is my property. This is my residence. Ah. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another man buildeth thereon. But let every man, each one individually, take heed how he buildeth thereon. Make sure you, verse 13, every man's work, singular, all the way down, singular, singular. You, in each person, not group, individual, you have the right to participate, to go, and you're carnal. That means you're locked up in everything and anything except what you should be. And you aren't enjoying being, think of it, how few people enjoy being saved. They don't. If they enjoyed being saved, if you say, well, I don't understand that. If you enjoyed being saved, how often would you be disappointed? How often would you be depressed? How often would you be discouraged if you enjoyed being saved? How could you enjoy being saved and have any of those things? How could you enjoy it? That means you aren't enjoying it. That's what that means. You aren't enjoying being saved. That's not good. That's not good. Because how are you going to participate in your great wonderment of being, how are you going to participate as a participant in the game, in the life, in what you're doing? The lot is cast into your lap, but the whole outworking is God's. Ah, now. So in the process, chapter 3, we're to go and build. Over to chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. We need to be wonderfully inspired and exercised in order to build, to participate, to do something, whatever it is. Well, I don't know what it is. I know what it is. You, as a believer, you ought to be believing, and exercise being alive. Planet Earth. That's what most of you did this morning. Try to be alive. And you're alive. Sleepy, alive, alive. Wow. But, God, we want to be alive. We want to wake up. We don't want to be, like it says in Ephesians 5, wake, awake thou that sleepest. That's talking to believers. Wake up, you dummy. Time's going. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Wow. So now in the light of that, Ephesians 1 and then 18, knowing what? Now, in the game itself, when you're out there with all these different hockey and all these different things, do you know that the other team is interested in winning? Did you know that? They're interested in winning enough that anything they can do to beat you, they're going to do it. Whatever it takes to beat you, they're going to do. Now, here we are, God, looking to you. Now, we're friends. We're friends. We love each other. Listen, in the football games, football, whatever you have, football, someone team plays with the other team, and they may be wonderful friends, but you know when they line up on that field, when they line up on that other field, your job is to knock that friend over and get him out of the way on behalf of the team, on behalf of winning. Is that not true? Here we got all this. God, why don't people like us? Because you're in the game, and you are in the game to win, and the world is losing. The world has lost. And they aren't interested in approving and applauding winners. especially when they win and the other, when you win and the other person can't. Ephesians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Wow. Preaching of the cross. Verse 21. After that, by the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks a Gentiles foolishness. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and over, what are we doing? Paul, with the flag? We don't hold different flags in the Olympics. We hold the flag of our country. We have the uniform of our country. We don't represent another country. We aren't interested in another flag. We have one flag. You know what it is. Why can't you honor our opinion? Our this. This is how we feel. Why can't you honor and give us tolerance and space? Like, why should you be out there? Because we have been brought into the game. We have been made a participant. And thus in 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul, you said it for us, and that's what the Corinthians needed to find out. For I determined not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I didn't want to know. I was brilliant. I could talk rings around people if they wanted to be intellectual, if they wanted to be popular, if they wanted to have influence. Boy, could I win. I'd be right up front with them. But the only thing I want to know in that great cosmopolitan city of Corinth is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, I'm running the race. I'm in the race. I'm not in the race to represent self, me and my generation. No, I'm there. I represent the flag. I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't represent anybody else. And all the other are opponents to it, to me. And now, in the light of that, so here's my works. I don't want to do my works, for the works of the flesh do not come out good. The works of the flesh don't come out good at all. But God, I can look to you with all my heart. I can look to you. And you can go in a most wonderful way and do a work in my heart. Thus, if you would. Hebrews chapter 9. Picking up the thought, if I may. God, what have you done? Well, I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. When that happens, my whole life changes. I belong not to myself, I belong to God. So I need to learn to understand that I belong to God. I need to understand that I'm not a member of my human family. God has transferred and translated me into His family. And thus I belong to my Heavenly Father. I belong. So here I am still in the world. But I'm not to be of the world. But I'm in it. I'm in it for a reason. To show the world who the winner is. What is it all? What is the purpose of being alive on planet Earth? You ought to give an explanation of that by your life. People you work with, go to school with, home, wherever you are. They're all there, born, living, dying, eating, drinking, coming, going. You're there to tell them that they can be a participant also. They can belong. They can be in the game. The game isn't a nothingness. You just get old and retire and work for the government. You can't just do that. It isn't that. It's about life. A wonderful reason to be alive. to show the world the grace of God, to show the world the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only sign to be given to the world is the sign of the prophet Jonah, which is the resurrection of Christ. And our wonderful ministry as the believers, as the church, is to represent no one and nothing except the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the life you now live in the flesh. You live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. So God, here we are, and we exercise life in whatever we eat or we drink or whatever we do. Whatever we do, we demonstrate life. Life. That's what the world needs to see. They don't need to see. Remember I told you, the world's so deep into apostasy and unbelief and hardness of heart. You could read the Bible for the next 10 years and teach it. They aren't going to do anything. Because that's you and there's them. They need to know that there is something that you have that's real. Real. That's real. The world needs that. They aren't going to go for anything else. They need to know that's what the world did in the New Testament. What was it done? The Lord Jesus Christ was real. On the day of Pentecost and thereafter, the fishermen, the ignorant, the nobodies, the tax collectors, the bunch of nobodies were somebodies. And the somebodies, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and all the rest of them had to look and say, what happened to these people? They had something, they didn't have a rabbinical education. They had a unique relationship to God. And that you couldn't fight. Wow. Now, so God, Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more, 9 and 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. God, wood, hay, and stubble. No, you don't have to do that. No, but you're going to do something because you can't get out of this. You're either going to produce or not wood, hay, and stubble or gold, silver, and precious stones. You aren't going to get away with it. If you're truly saved, if you're saved, I can't answer that. God will. If you're truly saved, you're going to answer for it. That doesn't mean you aren't unsaved. It means that you're going to find out that God would have done marvelous things and you never let it happen in your life. You never let it happen. Wow. And to purge your conscience, verse 14, from dead works, to serve, to exercise service, as a servant, especially when it comes to sacrifice, to serve, to worship, to sacrifice, to give yourself to worship. And, you know, without turning there, Philippians 2. Yeah. And what are we doing? What do you mean serve? Well, let's serve. All right. We're to work out what? Philippians 2:12? Our own what? Salvation. You can't do anyone else's. You're out there in the game and you play the game or you don't. You either win or you lose in that sense. You're either in or out. That's all. And if you're in, then you got to participate. And if you don't participate, you don't partake of the benefits here and now. And you'll miss out there and then of all that God would have you do. And thus, and remembering in Philippians 2:12, verse 13, for it is God which what? Worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God, my lot, yours. My lap, yours. My day, yours. My job, yours. My school, yours. My test, yours. My problems, yours. My friends, yours. My enemies, yours. God, here I am. Here I am. Wow. And if we walk in the light, walk. We didn't say we'd be run the race. Run the race, walk. live, run. But God, if you walk in the light as I am in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ does what for you? Continually to cleanse you. So you, I'm in competition. I'm only in competition with myself. And I can choose. I can, using a baseball, Babe Ruth's illustration, one of the things you do, when never let, remember the Babe Ruth, never let striking out keep you from going to bat. When you get up, you strike out, back up again. No one can take away. It's your turn, your place, your lot, your lap. It's yours. No one can take it from you. You could lose the blessing and bliss of it, but you can't lose it. The blood of Jesus Christ is going to help me to go down with all of its bumps and bruises and my own natural, carnal, fleshly, nothing life. God, well, here I am, and I'm going to look to God, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make my fellowship possible. I'm going to be able to have fellowship with God. That's what it says. And I'm able to, God, you're able to be a friend and a companion. Absolutely. I'm able to go and cause you to function. The blood helps me to function. That's right. Your blood flowing in your veins goes and gives you physical life. Without it, the life of the body is in the blood. And by the way, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, by way of his death, his life. And having that life, dear friend, we have the same blood, as it were. The blood of God, Acts 20. The blood of God. Wow. So now, God, here we are, fellowship functioning. All that we possess, we're supposed to enjoy it. How so? The blood of Christ will cleanse you and help you. And the bumps and bruises, the growing up, the everything that you have to go through, failure, fault, fear, fumbling. God will help you through all of it, help you through it all. And your function, you're going to possess and practice. You're saved, set apart for God to practice. God made it possible for you to participate. Everything. And to be pleasing to God in everything. What makes you pleasing to God? You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're trusting. Do you know little children? If I had a little child, and the little children are there, young people. And you know, if I ask them to do some complex mathematical problem, to solve some physics problem, to figure something out on the ship going up, a spaceship, and the right temperature, the right tolerance for the washer, the right condition, the airplane, the right metal that goes in the plane to test it. They aren't able to do any of that. Do you know, they just enjoy being 4 years old and 5 years old and 10 years old or whatever. Aren't you happy when they do that? Aren't you looking for that? I'm not looking for them to solve the airplane problem. I'm looking for them to relax and enjoy being who they are. Belonging to the family, belonging to the Father. Sons, that's all I'm looking for, God. Is that it? That's it. Christ makes it possible. Actors, I'm looking for their unique relationship to God, to please God. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ makes it possible. The time, my time is your time, God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, school, work, home, it's your time. My job is your job. I go to work, I go and do everything I should, and good or bad, right or wrong, it all happens. I go to school and try to get on the bus or whatever it is and do the classes. And I do everything, God. I do it. But God, But I'm going to make sure I'm looking to you so that my time is yours, the job. I'm not going to do it without you, God, help me. And my schoolwork and everything, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to remember, Ephesians 2:10, we are not by Ephesians 2:9, not by works of righteousness which we've done. That isn't that, but that's Titus. Not works, but the next verse, we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Your workmanship, God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Ah, I got it, God. So God, I'm just going to be me. Do you know what pleasure God has when he finds a human being that will just relax with him? I have to tell you, it's very rare. That's my personal observation. We don't know how to enjoy God. We don't know how to appreciate. Not you guys, girls. We don't know how to appreciate him. We don't. And we get all tied up with everything in our life that gives us high points and low points and high points and low points. And then we sort of bumble along for good or bad, more or less, going down the corridor. Now, in the process of all of that, keeping in mind, if you would, an illustration. I wish I could have helped you a little more. If you're saved, you're a participant. Like it or not. You either are going to be a participant for real, or you're going to forget it, and you're going to be as if you weren't. You might as well be like the unsaved. They aren't participants, and you live like they do. And you lose out, not on salvation, you lose out on the wonderment of now, and in some awesome way, the wonderment of then. Do you know in the process of that, they do have what is called the Special Olympics, you remember. They're for the handicapped somewhat. And then the handicapped, are you handicapped? You've got an old nature. The world system is against you. The satanic system is definitely against you. But God is for you. And if God be for you, what's the rest of that? Who can be against you? Greater indeed who is in you than he that is where? In the world. Resist the devil and he will. Why? He can't. What is it? You've got saved. You came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He can only mess you up mentally out here with the system, the world, and everything. But he can't get here. That's his, God's place. Can't get there. He can mess you up something fierce. But he has no power over you. Because he has no power over Christ in you. That's what the Lord will say. He has no more hold on me. None whatsoever. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you don't have any problem. They can only make noise and beat drums and yell at you and give negative everything. But you just are on the track. Run. Therefore, the little Olympic, Special Olympic oath. Quote, let me win. But if I cannot win, let me be brave in the pursuit. I'll do it again. Let me win. But if I cannot win, let me be brave in the pursuit or the attempt. I'm going to play the game. Do you know there are people in the Olympics now that have been this week or whatever that have gone out and they know they are not going to win. They know that the other people on the same game run faster, ski better. They know all of that. And you know what? They're going to go out and run what? Anyway. On behalf of the nation, what are we doing? We represent the living and only God in the game of life, and the game isn't over. The game is on. The game is on. And we're in it. Let me be brave. There's so much more other than me. But God, as for me, like Joshua, as for me and my heart, God, I want to run. And wonderfully, I have to get it a little tonight if I can. I can't lose. I'm meant to win. I'm meant to win. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and, God, your patience, and here we are. God, thank you very much. So deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. God, we get all these different things, God, which belong in our lap, in our lot, and in which we can look to you to outwork and use all of it and any of it to the outworking of your glory and honor. That's what we want. So God, make all the headaches, physical, mental, spiritual, moral, all the stuff around me, in me, about me, God, I want to use that like our Lord uses the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and rose up, God, to run all the way to the cross. God, we're running all the way to your imminent, soon appearing. Even so, come. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.